As the United States pulled out of Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War, many people who had been allies from Laos, Cambodia, and South Vietnam found their way to the U.S. Some of these people have always relied on fish for a large part of their diet. After settling in the United States, they naturally turned to public lakes and rivers and began fishing. They ran into a couple of problems. First, U.S. conservation laws put limits on the size and how many fish they could catch, something they were not used to. Second, health officials and conservation officials began to warn them about contamination. They told them chemical pollutants could harm development in children and fetuses. Jose Kung is with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. She says many of the Southeast Asian immigrants were skeptical. They thought the government was conspiring to get them to buy ocean fish from the stores rather than take free fish from the lakes and rivers. Kung says the immigrants had never heard of such a thing as contaminants you couldn't see.
PCB, mercury, they don't understand that. So that's a big challenge. So they are real cultural, but they are also real educational barriers.
As she distributed fish advisories suggesting that certain fish had higher levels of contamination, Kung found the Southeast Asian immigrants were astonished. She says they are a practical people. They feel if they can't see something wrong with the fish, then it must be okay to eat.
And I tell them, they say, but they're fat, they're shiny, they are big, you know. They're good to eat. So that's the kind of thing. It's more prevalent than relying on the advisory to change behavior.
The state of Minnesota had pamphlets of the advisories printed up in the various languages of the immigrants and handed them out at every opportunity. Pat McCann is a research scientist with the Department of Health. She's worked closely with Jose Kung to try to explain the fish contaminants issue.
But we found with the Southeast Asian populations, the written translations aren't that effective because that group seems to communicate more verbally. And so in order to do outreach with those groups, we try to do presentations and reach community groups in that way.
And so Minnesota took a more hands-on approach. Josie Kung says instead of handing out pamphlets alone, they started meeting with leaders in the various Southeast Asian communities in Minnesota. For example, the Hmong, who helped retrieve downed U.S. pilots during the war, are of people of clans. Kung found if they could demonstrate to clan leaders ways to trim away the fat of the fish where contaminants such as PCBs concentrate and show which fish have lower levels of contaminants, the word would spread throughout the community. Kung also found that it was important not just to talk to the anglers who got the fishing license, usually men.
We go in homes doing cooking and really check out their kitchen and say, oh, this is how you should do. And it's most effective because it's the women that prepare. He hasn't got a clue. He brings the fish home and leave it to the women, and the women decide how to cook it.
Minnesota's outreach program with Southeast Asian cultures is pretty advanced. Not every government in the Great Lakes Basin is as active. In recent years, the International Joint Commission, the body that monitors the U.S. and Canadian boundary waters treaties and agreements, has been admonishing the states and provinces to do more. Alan Hayton is with the Ontario Ministry of Environment. He says the governments have taken the message to heart, but finding the money to do the job is always a problem.
We do have some communications with some groups such as the Chinese community, which is well organized and receptive to the information that's in the guide. But it's difficult. We do the best job we can given the resources that we have.
The International Joint Commission warns that it's important that the states and provinces work harder to reach cultures, such as those from Southeast Asia, that rely heavily on fish from lakes and rivers for protein. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Lester Graham.